Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Periodically, I encounter people who have gotten themselves into quite a dilemma with their dogs. All of these people have several things in common. They all use behaviorism. And because behaviorism only offers two options, reward or punishment, they choose reward. Typically, this means treats. The third thing, and this is where they get into trouble, they perceive using this approach as all positive, and they also assign using it a higher moral charge. Sometimes they perceive it this way themselves. Other times, the method has been assigned that charge by the instructor of the class they took. In addition to applying this charge, sometimes they mentally and emotionally embellish it. They don't necessarily consider themselves saintly or angelic, but often they may perceive the person who uses punishment in a highly negative light. A common mental image is of some no-brained substance abuser living in a filthy trailer who keeps his dog chained to a cinder block outside and trains his dog, or her dog, with a choke chain, a prong collar, or maybe even a 2x4. That's a pretty potent image. So everything goes along swimmingly until their dogs hit adolescence or sometimes adulthood. Now, as anyone who's had experience with dogs know, they're a lot like kids in that some are easier than others. Some are pretty soft. It may take minimal skill on your part to have a well-behaved dog. But other times it's not so easy. Sometimes when they hit adolescence or adulthood, they decide to test the limits. They decide to test just how qualified we are to protect them and their space. One day the dog might be the sweet little boy willing to sit on command for a treat, and the next day he ignores it. One day he might come, or she might come, and the next day you could wave a steak at that dog, and that dog is not going to come. That dog has clicked into protective territorial mode, and food isn't that important to that dog anymore. But for simplicity's sake, let's say this occurs in the house. One day you tell Skippy to get off the couch, and he gets off the couch. And the next day you tell Skippy to get off the couch, and he curls his lip at you. When this occurs, some of these people find themselves in a real bind. There's no doubt in their minds that they should not reward this behavior. But rewarding is the only training method they know. Moreover, they have already defined that method as morally superior, the only method that nice, kind, loving people like them would ever consider using on their dogs. So now what do they do? A fair number of them back off simply because they have no idea what to do. Another group realize in that instant that they're afraid of their own dogs. Those in the third group, who may share beliefs in common with those in the first two, may begin making excuses. They must have startled the dog. Dog must be upset for some reason. If the dog keeps challenging them, then they start to rearrange their lives around the dog. And as long as they behave properly, the dog rewards them with good behavior. All I would say is that if you're an instructor that teaches all positive, think about what you're doing. If you're an experienced instructor, you know that some dogs are easier than others. Don't insinuate that those who use this process are somehow morally superior to those who opt for other forms of training. And above all, tell people what they should do when and if the unfortunate day arises when that dog mouths off at them. Admittedly, if you stick with behaviorism as your training method, you only have two options, reward or punishment. And if you go that route, there are all kinds of punishments. As part of the morally superior fantasy, a person who uses punishment uses extreme punishment. They don't just use a cold look or ignoring the dog for a couple hours. This explains those people who start out all positive, who are closet shock collar users. To say that this creates anxiety for those people and guilt for those people, and that those emotions hardly do anything to enhance their relationship with that dog, goes without saying. Better to work it through, and better to have an instructor who helps you work it through from the get-go. So when and if these situations occur, you won't have to deal with your own avalanche of negative feelings, as well as your dog's change in behavior.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.